Okay, so Om Gana Tumirandasha Ganan Jana Shilakaya Chakshur and Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we're continuing with our study of the Mana Shiksha. And for those of you who don't know what the Mana Shiksha is, because many of you weren't here yesterday, it's one of the foundational books written by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. And it means basically the instructions to the mind. Because as we know from the Bhagavad Gita, the mind can be the best friend of the living entity, and the mind can be... Whoops. What happened here? Anyway. So the mind can be the worst enemy of the living entity. There we go. Whoops. And computers can also be the worst enemy of the living entity. Let me just get this together so... Sometimes the technology doesn't exactly cooperate. All right. It'll take a second. All right, there we go. Yesterday it worked quite well. Here we go. All right. So we're, let's see. So Raghunath Das Goswami, of course, was instructed by Swarup Damodar Goswami under the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about what we call the internal cultivation of Krishna consciousness. So, as we mentioned yesterday, the external consciousness or external cultivation of Krishna consciousness was, put together by a computer. The external cultivation was taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Vrikeshwar Pandit, and that was later on taught by Jnanachanda Goswami in a padati that is very, very complicated as far as becoming Krishna conscious, as far as attaining the absolute truth. And that padati means like instructions or commentary. So this internal cultivation is actually what we follow. We don't follow the what the Babaji's of Vrindavan do, which is all these little complicated procedures which would take like 16 or 18 hours a day, and then you wouldn't have time to preach Krishna consciousness. So we're reading the second verse of the... Hopefully we're reading the second verse. Of the Mana Shiksha. And it's loading, and we'll go on to the second verse. Yesterday was working quite well. Is someone else using the internet here? At the same time, downloading anything? No. Okay. Because this makes it a little... Yesterday it seemed to work quite well. What? Restart the router? That might throw us off and further. Wait, you think someone is using the internet right now, or downloading anything? It's not working. I mean, otherwise I can speak without it, but this is actually quite helpful. Let's restart this thing. Let me restart this thing so it works. Sorry for the delay. Technological problems. In the meantime, while it's restarting, I'll start to read this verse. Let's restart the thing. Here we go. I'll read the second verse. And we read it. I'll just read it, and you don't have to do it responsibly. It's done with the Jagannath Ashtakam melody. You could just follow me, and then we'll do the word-by-word synonyms, which you have there, and the translation. Na dharmam na dharmam shuti gana niruktam kilukuru Vraje radha krishna prachura paricharyam mihatanu Shachi sunam nandishvara patti sutatve guru varam Mukunda prestatve smara paramajasram nanumanha. So we can do the word by word synonyms. I guess we can repeat since we got everybody here and we're waiting for the internet. Nanu,
Nanu.
Indeed.
Kila,
Kila.
Certainly.
Na,
Na.
Do not.
Kuru,
Kuru.
Do.
Dharmam, pious acts. Nadharmam, nor sinful acts. Shruti ganan hiruktam,
which is spoken of in the Vedas,
and supporting literature.
Iha,
here. Oops, lost my place here. Okay. Vraje,
residing in Braj.
Tanu,
please expand upon.
Radha Krishna Prachura Paricharyam. The profuse service of Shri Shri Radha Krishna.
Manaha,
O mind.
Ajashram.
Unceasingly.
Smara,
remember.
Asachi
Sunam,
the son of Sachi.
Anandishvara Pati
Sutatve,
as being the son of Nanda Maharaj.
Guru Varam,
and Sri Guru.
Makunda
Prashtatve,
as being one who is dear to the Lord.
Topmost.
Oh, sorry. Param.
Topmost.
So
the translation is, indeed,
do not perform
any pious acts
prescribed in the
Vedas and
supporting literature
or sinful
acts forbidden in them.
Staying
here in Braj,
please perform
profuse service
to Sri Sri Radha
Krishna.
O mind,
unceasingly
remember
the son
of Sachi
as the
son of Nanda
Maharaj and
Sri Guru
as the dearest
servant
of Lord Mukunda.
And actually,
I can read
Bhaktivinoda
Thakur's
commentary.
Looks like
this is not going to work
for some reason.
Maybe in
the meantime, someone
can reboot the
router.
To see if that
happens to be a problem.
So
this verse,
according to
Bhaktivinoda Thakur,
because
this is
Bhaktivinoda
Thakur's padati
or commentary
on the Manak
Shiksha,
this verse
deals with three
doubts.
The first doubt
concerns how
an individual jiva
who gives
up false pride
and takes
shelter of
Krishna Bhakti
will earn a
living.
It might appear
that no one who
gives up dharma
and adharma,
as prescribed in
this verse,
could maintain
a livelihood.
The second
doubt
concerns
accepting the
worship of Sri Sri
Radhakrishna,
the divine
couple, as the
ultimate and
only object.
Such a
person needs to
understand
how to know
and regard
Sri Chaitanya
Mahaprabhu
without
disturbing
one-pointed
worship.
Falls
in one of two
categories
of dharma and
adharma.
If we
reject both,
life cannot
be sustained even
for a moment.
Therefore,
Srila
Raghunath Das Goswami
did not actually prohibit all activities in relationship to engaging the senses in the world, then all activities such as earning money, farming, supporting one's family, protecting wealth and assets, building houses, and so forth, should be done in the mood of identifying oneself as a servant of the deity who is the enjoyer of all those activities. One should never think that I am the enjoyer and master and I can exploit the fruits of my work for my own enjoyment. According to the Hari Bhakti Vilas, even rituals such as the Shraddha, oblations offered to the ancestors, should be performed in the mood of service to the deity. When a person has no more attachment and dependency on the principles of Varnashram Dharma, the pure intrinsic nature of devotional service for the pleasure of the divine couple is easily available. Then one can live in Vrajdham, at least mentally, if not physically and mentally. The very beginning of worshipping the divine couple starts with worship of the gurus, a Sri Guru Puja, and pleasing the gurus. Then one remembers Lord Gauranga, meditating upon him to appear in the form of Krishna. If worship is done otherwise, the ultimate perfection will not come. However, if someone worships Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu separately from the divine couple, one will be unable to understand how he is non-different from Sri Krishna. Having established that Sri Krishna Nandanandana is non-different from Lord Chaitanya, Sri Sachinandana, one is then able to remember Sri Chaitanya even while worshipping Sri Krishna. The term Mukunda Preshta means someone who is very dear to Lord Mukunda, the Lord who gives mukti, freedom from the material world. The worshipper should think Sri Krishna, who is like an ocean of mercy, has sent his intimate associate in order to take me home back to Godhead. It is also most appropriate to respect and regard Sri Gurudev as an intimate friend, Priya Sakhi, of Srimati Radharani. And so that's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary, and so we're going to illustrate this commentary, hopefully, if the demigods of the internet cooperate with us this time. And if not, I'll use this as talking points for myself. Okay. I pray to the demigods, my dear demigods of whatever. Please manifest yourselves to us. There we go. Okay. Whoops. All right. Let's see. Wait a second. Let's try again. One more time. What? We could try that. Now, if that doesn't work, I'll just speak. One more try. It was working fine yesterday. It's kind of weird. All right, okay. There we go. All right. Try once more. There we go. Okay, that we read already. Like it's working. So let's continue where we were talking about. We did these slides yesterday. So we're talking about the vicious circle of karma. You know, you perform karmic activities and you get a reaction, and then you got the kuta and inclination to perform more karmic reactivities, and then you get the bija, the seed of sinful activities, then you perform more. It's a vicious cycle. So what we're advocating here is to be free from pious and sinful activities and to do everything for the service of the Lord, which is called akarma, and that's, of course, mentioned in the Gita. We were talking about this yesterday. So we're supposed to do akarma. We identify ourselves as Krishna's servant. See, the holy names are on our chest, in our mind, and everywhere. And we should give up ordinary dharma and adharma, offering everything to Krishna, and this should be our mood. Of course, we do pious activities mentioned in the Vedas for serving the Supreme Personality of God. It's not that we do impious activities, we ignore the injunctions of the Vedas. And the next part of the verse is Sachi Shunam Nandishvara Pati Sutave. We should meditate on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as non-different than Krishna. Whoops. So if we actually see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as different, or we see Krishna as different than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we won't get any spiritual results. In fact, if one distinguishes or discriminates, according to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, it's like, he described it as like the half a hen logic. That's referring to the hen who laid the golden egg. In other words, he said it's better to be an atheist than to worship one and neglect the other one. So we worship Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and of course Krishna and Balaram and Vrindavan, and understand the identities of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda as Krishna and Balaram. And then we meditate on all the incarnations of Krishna, seeing them, as we mentioned yesterday, that doesn't deter us from our one-pointed concentration on Krishna and Vrindavan, because we see them all as manifestations of Krishna's pastimes, Vrajendranandana's pastimes, as we were quoting from Jayadev Goswami's Gita Govinda, the Dasha Avatar shlokas yesterday, where he tells us Keshava Drita, Nada Hari Rupa, Keshava Drita Korma, Korma Sharira, wherever Kurma is here, Keshava Drita, Rama Sharira, Keshava Drita, Haladara Rupa, that's Balaram. So we see all these different incarnations as Krishna acting in different ways. We don't see them as separate from Krishna. We don't see them as lesser than Krishna. It's just Krishna putting on various guises, like one would see a dramatic actor in Hollywood or Bollywood or whatever your favorite film venue is. We would see the same dramatic actor acting in different roles. So that doesn't deter us from our one-pointed determination to serve Krishna. So in this verse, of course, Krishna is called the son of Nanda Maharaj, and Radharani is also mentioned as an interesting pastime here that can be related, and this is from the Brahma Vivarta Purana, that once upon a time, Nanda Maharaj was taking care of Krishna, and there was a giant storm, and he was getting worried, what should we do? And then Radharani came as a young girl. She came and said, I'll take care of him, and she took Krishna. And then Krishna all of a sudden, he was a little baby at this point, and Krishna manifested himself as 16 years old to her after he left Nanda Maharaj. And then they performed a marriage that was done by Lord Brahma. This is a famous pastime in the Brahma Vivarta Purana. And Narada Muni participated in too. So we meditate also on what Guru Varam, Mukunda Prashtatve Smara, on the Guru who is being very dear to Krishna. In other words, here's the Guru who is very dear to Krishna, picking us up from the ocean of material existence. And, of course, this is a picture of Srila Prabhupada being assured by Krishna of success in preaching Krishna consciousness. So that's the second verse. We're going to go on to the third verse today, and we'll read. We want to thank the demigods of the internet or the demigods of electronics for participating and helping us today. Oh, we don't want to neglect our demigod worship from now on. That's what they would say in Fiji, that if you had trouble with something, they would say, because you're not worshiping the demigods. When someone joins the movement in Fiji, if they have some problem, they get sick or a car accident, the parents will say to the kid, it's because you forgot to worship the demigods. Mm-hmm. So, of course, we're just joking about this. So we'll go on to text 3, and you can read along as we recite this verse. Yadichera vasam raja bhuvisarajam patijanur yuva dvandvam tachet paricharitam aradabilashe swarupam shirupam saganam ihatasya grajamapi Bhutam premna nityam smaranam atadatvam shrinumana. So the translation is, listen, O mind, if you desire in every birth to reside in the land of Braja with loving attachment and serve the youthful couple Shri Shri Radha Krishna in close proximity, then clearly remember and offer obeisances to Shri Sarup, Shri Rupa and his associates in Vrindavan, and to Shri Rupa's elder brother, Shri Sanatan. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains. Anyway, we didn't do the word by word, but it's all right. This verse addresses whether or not it is possible for someone to attain residence in Vrindavan with spontaneous love, if one accepts initiation and instruction from any of the Vaishnava schools or sampradayas. So we'll read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary. We will first consider the words in this verse, saragam, which refer to ragatmaka bhakti. The practice and perfection of pure bhakti is categorized into three states, sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. Srila Rupa Goswami's conclusions in this matter is explained in the following verses, and he gives the whole hierarchy of devotional service. I'm not going to read that right now. Sadhana bhakti begins with faith, shraddha, followed by association with pure devotees, sadhu sangha, engagement in devotional service, bhajana kriya, removal of unwanted desires in the heart, anartha nivritti, firm faith in the process of bhakti, nishtha, experience of taste in performing activities of bhakti, ruchi, feelings of affection towards the Lord, ashakti, attainment of deep attachment to the Lord, bhava, and attainment of spontaneous love for the Lord, prema. These are the stages of attaining pure love of Krishna for the sadhakas, and that's from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Sadhana bhakti, which is performed during the devotional stage of practice, is divided into two categories. These are vaidhi bhakti, or regulative devotional service, and raganuga bhakti, or spontaneous devotional service. There is a subtle distinction that is maintained between these two categories of practice, and different result at maturation. Srila Rupa Goswami gives his definition of regulative devotional service, vaidhi bhakti, as follows. When engagement in bhakti occurs solely for the discipline or by the discipline given in scriptures and not due to spontaneous attachment, such practice is known as vaidhi bhakti. Due to being restricted by the strong statements of the scriptures, some people call vaidhi bhakti the path of scriptural restriction. That's from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Srila Rupa Goswami describes spontaneous devotional service, or Raganuga Bhakti, as follows. He says, the eternal residents of Braj possess and vividly express Ragatmika Bhakti, or devotional service fully in spontaneous love. Engagement in Bhakti as a follower of the eternal residents of Braj is known as Raganuga Bhakti. To better understand Raganuga Bhakti, we must define Ragatmika Bhakti first. Bhakti composed of spontaneous attraction to Lord Krishna according to one's natural inclination to love is known as Ragatmika Bhakti. It can be based either on amorous attraction, or in other relationships, parents or friends. Who is qualified for Raganuga Bhakti or spontaneous Vraja Bhakti? In this conclusion, Srila Rupa Goswami has given his conclusion. The Ragatmaka variety of one-pointed devotion is found solely in the residents of Braj. Those sadhakas who are eager to obtain a similar mood are eligible candidates for Raghunuga Bhakti. A symptom of the emergence of this spiritual greed is that one's intelligence immediately becomes attracted to the mood of the residents of Braj on hearing about its sweetness, without caring for scriptural instructions or logical arguments. In contrast, a person eligible for Vaidhi Bhakti depends on scripture and logic until bhava or prema has arisen. And of course, I should mention that we shouldn't prematurely jump up to Raghunuga Bhakti. Bhakti Vinod Thakur here says we have to wait until bhava or prema has arisen. That means, bhava, of course, means emotions, beginning with the vibhava. Vibhava is that which stimulates the other emotions. And then there's anubhava, the sattvika bhavas, vyabhachari bhavas. I'm not going to go into a whole description of these things. But one has to come to the point of being, let us say, ecstatic when you see something that relates to Krishna. If you see a peacock feather and you immediately feel like fainting on the ground, that means you're ready for Raghunuga Bhakti. Does anyone feel like that? No. So none of you are ready. So anyway, so... or you see prasadam, instead of thinking of satisfying your tongue, you think of how nice, you know, Krishna's enjoyed. So that's Raghunuga Bhakti. So, but we should understand the goal. Of course, the goal is prema bhakti, but we should understand the different steps so that ultimately when we're ready for that, we can identify it and execute Raghunuga Bhakti. Raghunuga Bhakti, incidentally, this is my own commentary, not reading Bhaktivinoda Thakur right now. Raghunuga Bhakti means that you still follow very strictly the rules and regulations that you followed as a Vaidhi Bhakta. And there's reasons for that. One is, as Prabhupada said, you're afraid of Maya. Prabhupada said, you know why I don't fall down? Of course, that's Prabhupada was a pure devotee, never falls down. But he said, because I'm always afraid of Maya. And he said, the problem with you Western boys and girls, and that applies to you in Indian boys and girls, and Fijian boys and girls, is that you're not afraid of Maya. We have, and I mentioned yesterday, we even have devotees who chant their japa watching Bollywood movies as they're chanting. They're not afraid. They're embracing Maya. Sometimes there's this interesting story about one king asked the sage, you know, why is Maya so strong? And the sage, instead of answering him verbally, went up to a pillar and embraced the pillar and said, let me go, let me go. So don't blame Maya. Like the Christians, they blame the devil. So we blame Maya. So we have our own way of avoiding or evading responsibility. So we are responsible for our mind, our body, and things that we do. Don't say, you know, like if someone says, why did you do that, Prabhu? You say, well, I was in Maya. That's just an excuse. You chose to do that thing. It's like in modern psychology, you get a diagnosis, you know, why are you so crazy? Because I'm schizophrenic. You understand? You get a diagnosis, and that diagnosis becomes an excuse for your own misbehavior. Now, I'm not saying that people aren't schizophrenic or people aren't paranoid, whatever, but people oftentimes use those diagnoses as excuses for their own behavior. So we do not use Maya as a diagnosis for our own behavior. We chose to do a certain thing. So anyway, so one who is eligible for Raghunuga Bhakti, always meditating on Sri Krishna and his devotees, should be favorable to one's mood, and residing in Braj become absorbed in hearing the pastimes of that devotee in Krishna. One who desires, so we're talking about residing in Braj. Yesterday we mentioned one resides in Braj in one's mind. Like Prabhupada never left Braj. One who desires to obtain the specific mood of a particular resident of Braj should perform service externally in the form of a sadhaka. Oh, another reason that we have to be very strict in our Vaidhi Bhakti, in spite, you know, if you're on the Raghunuga platform, is to set a good example for others. As Krishna says in the Gita, you know, yad yad acharati shreshtat tat tat evaituro janaha, that as a advanced person or as a great person or an exemplar acts, everyone follows. And I oftentimes give the example how one time Srila Prabhupada, he drank 7-Up. And The devotees, a few days later, had a whole truckload of 7-Up delivered to the temple. So you can see that conditioned souls are always looking for excuses to enjoy their senses. Oh, Gurudev, I saw Gurudev at the movies last night. And so then they'll go to the movies every day, even though Gurudev has gone to the movies, I guess, to learn about how to present Krishna consciousness. But anyway, just like one time, myself and Jai Patakumaraj went to Disney World together. And, you know, his intention was to look at the different exhibits, to learn about the different exhibits, to do something in Mayapur. So, of course, if the devotee saw us going, you know, it was a date. So if the devotee saw us going, you know, everybody would go to Disney World. So anyway, I'm revealing what we did, so you're all invited. It was boring, actually. One who desires to obtain the specific mood of a particular resident in Braj should perform the service externally in the form of a sadhaka and internally in the mood of that eternally liberated devotee. And intelligent devotees should consider the limbs of Vaidhi Bhakti, such as hearing and chanting, as limbs of Raghunuga Bhakti also. When devotional service and practice matures, one is endowed with a stage of Bhava Bhakti known as Rati, or strong attachment. And Srila Rupa Goswami explains this rati. We don't have much time. When this rati, in which the desire for enjoyment attains oneness with his identity, one attains maturity and it becomes Mahabhava. And then he gives all the different stages after Mahabhava. I'm summarizing here. Then there's prema, sneha, mana, pranaya, raga, anuraga, and all these different stages that occur. And its example is like sugar cane. When you boil it down, it becomes sweet, sweet, sweeter. And finally, it becomes crystallized sugar. So now we're going to see the explanation of that in the slides. So pratijanur, of course, pratijan, let's go back here, means life after life. So in other words, one has to have this Ashabandha, like hope against hope, is described in the Nectar of Devotion, that I have no attachment for Krishna, I have no desire to be Krishna conscious, but I understand that I will gain Krishna's favor in the future by the mercy of my spiritual master. So this means, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if it's not possible in this lifetime to gain Krishna's favor by these activities, the gopis, this is actually Rukmini, she was prepared to die from austerities and undergo similar difficulties lifetime after lifetime. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that pure devotees of the Lord execute devotional service with great determination. Such determination, as exhibited by Rukmini Devi, is the only price for purchasing Krishna's favor. This is from the Krishna book, a particular quote. So, and then analyzing more words in the verse, nama premna swarupam shi rupam saganam iha tasya grajam api. He says, with love for Sri Sarup, Sri Rupa, and all of his associates staying here in Vrindavan, and also to Rupa's older brother, Sanatan. So the books of the Goswamis of Vrindavan and also their associates shower the jewels of service to Radha Krishna upon their readers, and they bring them spontaneous love. So in other words, by reading these books, we're associating with these great personalities, and as mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, bhakti resides in the hearts of the great pure devotees and becomes transferred to our hearts by associating with them. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states that bhakti is independent and even Krishna doesn't give bhakti. Bhakti comes from Krishna's devotees. So that's the Goswamis of Vrindavan. And of course, when one reaches the stage of Raghunuga Bhakti, one is spontaneously waking up in the morning, doesn't need an alarm clock, jumps out of bed, Mangalarti time. And previously, you have to be woken up by the other brahmacharis who throw water on you, play the kartels in your ears, and tell you how much maya you're in, and finally you get up for Mangalarti 5 minutes late. Of course, we want to mention that When we're encouraging people to attend Mangalarati or attend the spiritual programs, and they're not on the stage of Raghunuga Bhakti, we don't want to use force, because this actually will discourage people. We can encourage people to come by explaining the goal of Krishna consciousness, explaining Srila Prabhupada's mood, and by preaching in a very compassionate way. Not by yelling, screaming, or like they, in one temple, if you didn't come to Mangalarti in time, you had to write the holy names like Maha Mantra like 1,000 times. That does not encourage people to become Krishna conscious. That discourages people. Because people have a need for autonomy to make their own decisions in life, to choose to be Krishna conscious. It's voluntary. You can't put a gun to someone's head and say, chant Hare Krishna, become a devotee, chant 16 rounds. So this is Raghunuga Bhakti. And we follow Swarup Damodar Goswami, and Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Roy were the two principal associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Incidentally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only talked about these intimate affairs of Radha and Krishna with Swarup Damodar Goswami, Ramananda Roy, Sikhi Mahiti, and Sikhi Mahiti's sister. It's called 3.5 people. Don't ask me to explain why the half is not politically correct. So, but I can explain. So, anyway, so Lord Chaitanya, with the general mass of people, was just encouraging people to chant Hare Krishna. He would never get into the intimate discussion and loving exchanges. And, of course, Ramananda Roy is Vishakha, and Swarup Damodar Goswami is Lalita Devi, the two principal associates of Srimati Radharani. And so, through these associates, he instructed the Goswamis of Vrindavan and revealed the different aspects of pure devotional service. And so the outer path, as we mentioned before at the beginning of this discussion, the outer path of devotional service was taught to Vrikeshwara Pandit. And Vrikeshwara Pandit was renowned as the best dancer in the Krishna consciousness movement. He could dance for 72 hours without stopping. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said about him that if I had two devotees like him, he's like a wing, I could fly, I'd have two wings and I could fly in the air. So this is the outer path. And this path was actually very much prone nowadays to misuse and parody. Parody means like copying. And that's generally what the Babaji's do, is they teach this inner path. That you don't do any practical service for Krishna, you just sit and meditate and the outer path, they teach the outer path, sorry, that you just do all these different rituals, which I mentioned in the beginning, take about 16 or 18 hours a day, and chanting different mantras and different mudras and touching different parts of your body, and they don't engage in the Sankirtan, which actually we know is the Yuga Dharma. So the inner path was taught to Raghunath Das Goswami, who we see here being shielded by Srimati Radharani. That's a famous story. He was meditating on the banks of the Radhakund or the Shamakund. And as he was meditating on the banks of the Radhakund or Shamakund, it was very hot, and Srimati Radharani was shielding him from the sun. And at another time, Krishna was actually protecting Raghunath Das Goswami from tigers with a stick. So Sanatana Goswami saw this, excuse me, and he ordered Raghunath Das Goswami to construct a Bhajan Kutir. At first, Raghunath Das Goswami refused, and ultimately he did construct a Bhajan Kutir. So Raghunath Das Goswami teaches us with elaborate descriptions about the inner motives and desires and qualifications, need for a guru, and it's impossible to imitate the process of Raghunath Das Goswami, whereas one can imitate the external process. You know, you can do all the mudras, you can do all the mantras, you can be very ritualistic. As we've seen, even in our Krishna consciousness movement, many devotees are... Is there any water? Many devotees do things externally, ritualistically, and of course that's called Niyam Agraha. There's two problems, Niyam Agraha and Niyam Agraha. Niyam Agraha means to neglect the rules and regulations, And niyam agraha means to do the rules and regulations externally without meditation or concentration or awareness of the goal of Krishna consciousness. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur established this as the emblem of the Gaudiya Math. And this emblem was that if you worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by doing Sankirtan according to the directions of Lord Chaitanya and Kirtan, and Kirtan and preaching Krishna consciousness, and also do the Archana process, distribute books, follow the Pancharatra, and then by doing that, you will achieve ultimately Raga Marg. So that was the process he presented. And of course, there is another party called the Anti-Party that's opposed to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that criticizes him. They say that he was simply interested in Vaikuntha in the Vaidhi or the Vidhi, the rules and regulations. But according to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's presentation, by following this whole process, one will achieve Raga Marg. Whereas the Babaji's, they say that you can just go directly to Raga Marg without performing any of these different subsidiary activities. And so that's the deviation that they have. And they're called the Anti-Party, and there's many people who join them, very sentimental people, who go to Radhakund, and they become bewildered by this Anti-Party. So devotees perform the various activities of Vaidhi Bhakti, even when they achieve Raghunuga Bhakti, and but internally, they're cultivating this mood as a servant of Krishna in Vrindavan. So we can't judge a devotee from the external aspects. So, and then love, by following this process listed by, or delineated by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, love gradually unfolds in the heart, just like a flower or a lotus flower gradually opens up. And when one gets to the stage of Raghunuga Bhakti, one can accept any of the servants of Krishna in the spiritual world in any of the five different rasas. Actually, Shantaras is present, but the Shantaras in the spiritual world is mixed with some dasha. You don't have pure Shantaras in the spiritual world. Pure Shantaras would be like a Mayavadi understanding. So Shantaras is mixed with dasha, so we have the coward boys like Rataka and Patrika, who one may follow in the footsteps of. And then the friendship rasa. Those who are friends of Krishna, like Sridham and Sudham. And then you have the parental mood, such as Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, and many of the other residents of Vrindavan. And then, of course, you have the gopis and their mood of conjugal attraction. So when one reaches that stage, one is attracted to a certain devotee and a certain service in the spiritual world, and one meditates upon that. It's an interesting story. This is on Radharani's order. Chandravali, who is normally Radharani's competitor, put dye on Madhu Mangal during the holy festival. So there's poor Madhu Mangal, Krishna's funny Brahmin thread. So now we're going to go to the next verse. Actually, we're going quite quickly. Actually, we don't have time. So any questions? Tomorrow we'll continue with verses 4 to 7. And verses 4 to 7 elaborate on the process of eliminating obstacles, going subtler and closer to the root with each step by the mercy of and love of Krishna and his devotees. So we're going to talk about subtle and gross obstacles, how to overcome these subtle and gross obstacles in achieving ultimately Raghunuga Bhakti, Baba Bhakti, and Prema Bhakti. So anyone have any questions? Yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you.
You were saying how we blame Maya for our problems.
Yeah. Gunai karmani sarvasya hankara vimudatma kartamiti manyate, yeah. The living entity is forced to act helplessly according to the impulses born of the modes of material nature. No one can refrain from action even for a moment. That's the verse? Yes. When you... excuse me. When you put yourself under the jurisdiction of Maya, then you're forced to act helplessly. So we have free will. Our free will is we can choose at every moment. It's not that you took initiation and you said, I'm surrendered to Krishna. But a surrender to Krishna is a moment-by-moment affair. So every moment we can choose Krishna or Maya. We have this conscious choice. So if we put ourselves under Maya or illusion, yes, we're forced to act helplessly. And if we put ourselves under Krishna's direction, Mama Maya Dracha, Mama Eva Ye Prapajante, if we surrender to Krishna, then we are able to act, let's say, with our free will to serve Krishna. So it's our choice. But it is a fact, if you're in Maya, through your conscious choice, not through force, nobody gets put in Maya by force. You choose Maya. Then you're forced to act helplessly. Do you think, for example, someone who's not Krishna conscious is thinking they're making choices. For example, they may say, well, I like this type of food or that type of food. But it's actually the modes of nature. Someone may say, well, I like Italian food, so they got Italian modes of nature. Or Chinese food, Chinese modes of nature. There's a different combination. Three modes of nature can be manifested in practically an infinite number of ways. You get 3 times 3 times 3 times 3. I mean, ultimately, you also get to the 8,400,000 species of life by doing that, and then even more variety after that. There's like three basic colors, red, blue, and green, can actually manifest themselves as all the colors in the spectrum when properly combined. That's what you see on a TV. There's actually only three colors here, three or four colors, and they're combining in different ways to manifest all the colors. So, yes. You are actually forced to act helplessly if you're in Maya. But at every minute, you do have that choice. You can say, Krishna, take me away. I surrender to you. Uh-huh. You should develop the habit, as we were speaking yesterday, that we should develop the habit that whenever Maya rears her head or appears before us, which is practically 24/7, we should go, Hare Krishna. I was giving the example yesterday, and those of you who were here heard this example. That I was with a devotee in Sydney, and he was driving the car, and every time there was some dangerous circumstances, I just said, Hare Krishna! And he said, that's very unusual, Maharaj. Why do you do such a thing? I said, well, there's danger. It's either that or cry out for my mother, which is not a good idea, Mommy, save me, or... Thank you for the music. So, or go, help! Ah! Like Prabhupada talked about... Thank you. Prabhupada talked about a parrot that can chant Hare Krishna, parrot name. But at the time of death, if you go to the parrot, it goes, squawk! So we have to develop that habit. When Maya comes, it's just like someone cuts us off in the car, someone endangers our life. We go, Hare Krishna! And for brahmacharis, that may mean women. So, I'm teasing. I remember the early days of the movement was like that. You're in the temple and some brahmacharini walks by. Hare Krishna! And the poor lady, she heard this, Hare Krishna! Of course, sometimes the brahmachari would just say, Maya! So, I guess for brahmachari, that may be like getting in a car accident. So, Ajamil, when he saw this couple, Ajamil, that story in the Bhagavatam, when he saw this couple actually embracing, the Shudra and the Shudrani embracing, He should have just gone, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Instead, what did he do? Jayato Vishyak Sangas Tangas Teshu Pajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Kama Krodha Pajayate. He began to contemplate his sense object, and it grew more and more and more. From contemplating sense objects, attachment develops, according to Krishna and Gita. And from attachment comes lust, and that's exactly what happened. So we have to be careful whenever there's a sense object, and I'm not just talking about for the brahmacharis lady, you know, like food or something like that, or a movie, or, you know, there are all sorts of sense objects we have. Some people, their sense object is a nice car. Everybody has a mobile phone, you know, is a sense object. It's like that. You know, they just look at, wow, they get lusty over a mobile phone. So we all have... just, it happens. You know, how many people talk about the latest, you know, they line up for the latest Apple iPhone, like for 3 days at the iPhone store. So we have to be able to identify. Each of us has a particular type of maya that we are attracted to. It's just like different varieties. Like if you go to someone's, take someone out to an ice cream store, what flavor do you like? You know, vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, whatever. I don't even know any of the flavors. you know, and so we have particular flavors of maya. So we have to be able to identify when there's danger. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, and take shelter of Krishna's name. And that keeps us out of being controlled by, you know, the hikaschichanamapi jatati tishtatiya karmakrit. Good question. Any other questions? Yeah. Yeah. Mm. That's actually a very good question. Oh, the regular attendance in Bhagavatam class. by going to Bhagavatam class every day, it reminds us. And then also, another thing I advocate is before we do our service or chanting or whatever we're doing, we should have a sankalpa. Sankalpa, for those of you who don't know what it means, means like why or an intention. Like if you're performing a Vedic sacrifice, let's say if you're doing, because you're brahmacharis, I don't want to mention marriage. So if you're doing an initiation, okay, that's safer. So, I'm just teasing. So it's, let's say you're doing an initiation, there's actually a whole sankalpa you're supposed to go through. You know, on this so-and-so day of the year, the phase of the moon, that we are here to do this initiation, connect them to Krishna, etc., like that. So you have to do a sankalpa. This is what I usually do before I chant japa. I think, why am I chanting japa? Instead of thinking, I am chanting japa, I have to chant japa, I have to chant 16 rounds, I think, why? What is my purpose? What am I intending? What is my intention? And so when you think like that, you're going to be less likely to be, let's say, doing your activity just in a very ritualistic way. Mm. But also we have to be careful of not introducing too many different procedures into our devotional service. I mean, sometimes people get introduced so many procedures in deity worship, they forget they're worshiping Krishna. You know, it happens like that. I mean, I was trained up like by Prabhupada and by devotees who were trained by Prabhupada, and the deity worship was very simple. You know, just offer the incense to Krishna, the flower to Krishna. And, you know, we didn't learn any mudras or this or that or anything like that. So, I'm an advocate of the KISS philosophy, keep it simple, sadhu. Because then, I'm not saying the people who do those things are wrong. I mean, if they can think of Krishna, but if I have to start counting circles around other circles, I don't think of Krishna. I just think of counting. You know, one and a two and a three and a four and a five and a six and a seven and a one and a two and a three and a four and a five and a six and a seven. Okay, that's RT. One and a two and a three. I mean, maybe some people can multitask like that. I don't have that ability. So I just want to think in devotion as I'm doing things. Bhakti Mama Bhijanati. You know, so I try to keep things simple. So maybe you can do things more complexly, but don't do it so complexly so that you forget Krishna. Because the first rule a devotional service, always remember Krishna. The second rule is never forget Krishna. So if you're following so many details that you're forgetting Krishna, you're violating the initial rule. You know, what are you doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? You should be thinking of that all day. You know, why am I preaching, presenting, distributing books, for example? Why? You know, you have to get, that's up to you to give yourself a reason. You know, maybe it's to please my spiritual master, maybe it's to please Krishna, maybe it's to become Krishna conscious, maybe because I'm feeling so much compassion for these people. But you don't want to do it ritualistically, because that's a detriment, will hold you up from advancement in devotional service. According to Srila Rupa Goswami, in Nectar of Instruction, you know, Achahara Payasa Shad Pajalpa Nimagraha, it says Nimagraha, Nimagraha, according to the commentary. So, that answer the question? So just have a sankalpa, you know, ask yourself, why am I doing this activity? Don't put your body on automatic. You know, like, wake me up when my job is done. Or I gave the example, you all didn't hear the example I gave the other day, so it bears telling again. That pilots, when they fly a plane, they sometimes put the plane on automatic, you know, automatic pilot. I used to fly a plane, so I know about it. And so there's many examples, or several examples in the United States, how the professional pilots put the plane on automatic and they overshot the airport. You know, went beyond the airport another 300 kilometers. Because they put the plane on automatic and they were talking with each other, you know. Hey, what do you think about the football game, you know. Whatever they were talking about. And sometimes we put our body on automatic and our mind is talking about football. So, or whatever. And so they overshot the airport. They were trying to reach them on the radio. Hey, American Airlines flight 25. Where are you? Wake up! And finally, after 300 kilometers, oh, yeah. And then they turned around and landed the plane safely, and they lost their job as pilots after that point, obviously. So that's the Krishna unconscious movement. So the Prabhupada calls the Krishna conscious movement, which means always to be aware why you're doing it, who you're doing it for. Not only why you're doing it for someone, for your spiritual master, for Krishna, for your spiritual advancement. Otherwise, it's Niyamagraha. Any other quick questions? Because we got a tight schedule today. Yeah?
Yesterday I just read a little bit of the preview on the Amazon book, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Bhasha Song 1, he says that praise the goddess of fight, whose grace can bestow devotion. Who's that goddess of fight?
It's Shraddha. Faith comes from the association. We mentioned that yesterday. That goddess of faith resides in the hearts of Krishna's devotees. Because we mentioned that one gets faith by associating with those who have faith. Right? You remember that? I mentioned that yesterday. So that's what it really means. It's a poetical expression. It's not that you install another deity on your altar, the faith deity, and you just like worship, oh, my dear faith, give me faith. But a lot of these expressions by Bhaktivinoda Thakur are metaphorical.
I was wondering if that refers to Bhakti, as in Bhakti Devi, as sometimes we call it.
Bhakti, it can refer like that. But basically, faith comes from the association of pure devotees. I mean, how would you worship Bhakti Devi independently from Krishna? Or independently from the pure devotee?
But we worship Tulsi.
Yeah, we worship Tulsi. Yeah, I mean, that's true, too. That we worship Tulsi Devi for devotion. You know, please give me a place, a residence in the pleasure groves of Sri Vrindavana. So we worship Tulsi. But what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his commentary is by association with the devotees we get that faith, with those who have faith. So if we read Prabhupada's books, which, of course, association is by sound vibration, then we get that faith, the faith rubs off on us. We read about Prabhupada's biography, we read Prabhupada's biography, and we hear how much faith and determination Prabhupada had in his spiritual master, and that inspires us too. So I would say we, as far as acquiring faith, I've never heard it mentioned that, you know, you pray to Tulsi Devi for faith. Of course, you could do that. She is a pure devotee. But I would say association with devotees, with pure devotees, through sound vibration, through observation and sound vibration, is the way that one acquires faith. Okay? So I think we have to end now because we have a tight schedule. Thank you very much. Sorry for the glitches in the computer in the beginning. All glories to Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Ki Jai. Okay. And we want to thank the devotees who are joining us online. We got quite a few. We got almost 40 today. I guess I could mention everybody, but it's too many people. We got people from Europe. We got people from the United States. We got people from Fiji. We got people from New Zealand. That's pretty obvious. Krishnendu, people from, wow, everywhere. I don't have time to mention everybody. Sanatan's watching us. Wow. Okay, Sanatan, say hello to your wife. She's there. Just wave to Sanatan. Tell me, miss him. Okay, all glory.